Amen. Let's see here. Let's go to Judges chapter number 17 tonight. I like that song. He even talks about having shoes on their feet. And I know that some people don't have a lot of pairs of shoes, and some people have way too many pairs of shoes. And yes, I'm talking about some of you ladies. So I know my wife likes shoes. So, and you know what? There's some nice ladies around here that give her shoes when they're done with them. I'm thinking, well, you don't need any more. But it all works out. So I do like that song. It shows us, you know, what as we get ready and go into this Thanksgiving season, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, we do have shoes on our feet. So, Judges chapter 17, when we look at, we've been going through the book of Judges, it's starting a new different stage in the book of Judges. We've been watching how we've seen the people of Israel go through this continual spiral. And you see in the book of Judges that they sin and God sends them an oppressor. They get tired and they cry out to the Lord. The Lord raises up a deliverer and there's peace. And we see there's a continual cycle of defeat, deliverance, and then disappointment. Tonight we're going to see a change in Judges chapter 17. They begin just kind of looking at a couple stories, three different stories in here till the rest of the book is over. Three main stories to show you what type of nation Israel became. What type of nation Israel actually ended up becoming. You know, they refused to learn from God. And I think there was approximately 12 different judges there and that we learned about and heard about. And over and over and over, they kept on going back to sin and kept on going back to sin and kept on going back to sin. And they kept on, God kept on delivering them. And tonight you're going to just look at some different people. They're not judges. They're not kings. They're not really anyone special. We're going to look at one Bible character. But I think the reason why God put these different stories in there to give you an idea or the mentality of what was going on in that day and time. Let me remind you of a couple important phrases in the book of Judges. We looked at them at the beginning. Judges 21:25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that was right in his own eyes." If you go and you look in here, it's going to say the same thing in one of these verses that it talks about every man. Verse number 6, "In those days there was no king of Israel, but every man did that was right in his own eyes." So here's the thing is that there was no absolute moral. They were saying, let's do what we think is right. Let's do what we consider to be true. Let's do what is right in our own eyes. There was no point of authority that says, okay. Now, the problem wasn't the fact that there wasn't a king. And Israel lived for many years without a king. God designed it that way that he wanted to rule over them. But what a king represents is the law and the enforcement of the law. So there was no laws. You say, well, Pastor, there was all those laws in the Old Testament. They didn't care about those. They did what was right in their own eyes and what they believed was right in their own eyes. And the problem that happens there is wickedness will reign. And we've seen this downward spiral after spiral. And you're going to see in this story today, there is confusion. Because when there is no moral absolute, there is confusion. And when there's confusion, you're also going to see wickedness reigning. And you're going to see here that this man, you know, he worships God in his own way. He has a shrine of idols. He gets a Levite to be the priest for his family. He steals from his mother. He does a lot of different things, but in the end, he thinks, well, God will be pleased with me. God will be thankful for this, and God will bless me. It reminds me of that verse in Isaiah 5:20. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." There are people that will look at evil and call it good. We have a nation today that's surrounded with people that call evil good. They think it's good that people are living immoral in an immoral way, or they think it's good because of the fact that they can sin and sin out openly. This is good things that people have all these homosexualities and these gender things, and they call evil good and they call good evil. Some people would say what we're doing here tonight is evil. Some people will say that this Bible is wrong and evil in its practices and the hate that it teaches. This is our moral absolute, but they don't look at it that way. They look at what's right in their own eyes. And the problem is our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. And if we're going to do what's right in our own eyes, what I think is right is going to be different than what you think is right. And then what you think is right is going to be different than what someone else thinks is right. That's why there needs to be a moral absolute. And the reason why the nation of Israel struggled so much, everybody was doing what was thinking was right. Next chapter, you're going to see there's a group, the Danites, the tribe of Dan. Next week, we're going to look at how they said, we didn't get enough land. We have too many people. We have a problem here. So let's go look out and find another spot and just destroy a city and make it our land. Now, they weren't going over to the Philistines area and doing that. They were actually, I believe, staying in the Israelites area. So they were killing their own people so that way they could have their own. Why? It's because they had a problem. That's the way they were going to fix it. And this is what's wrong with the mentality of people today. If there is no moral absolute, if there is no right and wrong, and we do what's right in our own eyes, you're going to see complete confusion. And you're going to see a breakdown of the home. You're going to see a lot of different issues. So that first verse, you notice, is a phrase that every man did that was white in his own eyes. Chapter 2, verse number 11 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. So the point was, when man does what's right in his own eyes, they will do evil in the sight of the Lord. When man does what is right in their own eyes, they will do evil in the sight of the Lord. So when we look at what the nation become during these years of the judges, these are a few stories that God chose to close out the book. We remember chapter number 17, that the tribe of Dan destroying the other nation. Chapter number 19 that is the story about the concubine that gets killed and different things like that. Why is this? It's because this is what happens when we do not make God our authority and God's word our authority. And when we do what is right in our own eyes, it's a mess. You think about the story of the life of Samson. We saw it the last 4 or 5 weeks. What happened? He did what he wanted to do. And when he did what he wanted to do, guess what happened? His life became a mess. So let's read chapter number 17, and we're going to look at a few different things tonight. Let's read chapter number 17. The Bible says, and there was a man of the Mount of Ephraim. And he said, well, what's so special about that? The point is, there's nothing special about that. This was just a regular individual. And that's what it's not from Gideon. It's not a Gideon, a judge, or a guy that had all these different special talents like Samson. This is just a regular man, a normal Israelite during this time and phase in the life. Verse number 2. And said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed that be thou, the Lord, my son. Now, there's some interesting things in this verse. First of all, 1,100 shekels is a lot of money. You're going to see in a little while, this man was happy and satisfied with having 10,000 shekels, paying somebody for a yearly wage of 10,000 shekels. So it's 10 shekels a year. So 10 shekels, this 11,000 is a lot of money in the thousands and thousands of dollars. But it's kind of interesting. You read that and he says, look, mom, you remember that money that someone stole and you cursed them and you put a curse on them? Once again, there's religious confusion here. He says, that money that you cursed in my ears that I heard you say, cursed be the man who stole my money. He says, I took it. Now, mom doesn't get upset here. There's a breakdown in the family because, you know, you think about it, stealing here is pretty bad. It's wrong. But to steal from your own parent, man, that's horrible. And what does the mom say at the end? Blessed be thou, the Lord, my son. She says, bless you. I mean, she is not correcting him. She is not punishing him. She is just thankful to get her money back. Look at some more confusion in verse number 3. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. And if you stop right there, you're thinking, okay, this woman is spiritual. In a dark world, she's dedicated this money to God. You look at the reference there, Lord, in the capital letters there, you know, they're talking about the one true God. That's who she thinks she's dedicating it to. But look what it says, from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. She's confused here. She says, I've dedicated this money unto God, the Lord. And guess what? And I'm going to give this money back to you. I was going to give it to you anyway. And now I want you to go out and break commandment number 1 and commandment number 2. There's confusion here. She thinks that she's dedicating something unto God. And she thinks that she's consecrating something unto God. But it really is doing wickedness. Let's keep on going. Verse number 4, yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And so we see here, we learn the name of the gentleman, Micah. We see also that he received this money. They made a graven image, and they put it in the house. Verse number 5, and the man Micah had a house of gods, not just one. It's not the one true God. You see the little G there. These are all worship and false gods. And he continues on. He has a shrine there in his house and made an ephod and a teraphim. Now, these are things that are supposed to be consecrated unto the priest to use and wear, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So here's the thing, is he makes his shrine. And in this shrine, there's a bunch of little false gods, but also there's the God that the mother had done for the one true God, and it's all wickedness. And he wants to be like part of the law. He wants to go back and he wants to take, pick and choose parts of the law and say, you know what? I need an ephod and I need this and I need a priest. Instead of going and, you know, once again, it doesn't talk about a priest of a family. He goes and says to one of his sons, he says, I'm going to make you a priest. No authority there. But that's what confusion is happening. That's what's happening in our country today, is that there's no moral absolute and there's moral confusion. There's people that are doing things in the name of God, and it's just confusion. That's what this man does. He takes one of his sons and says, now you're a priest. And let's keep on going. Verse number 6, in those days was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I think what God is saying here, you can think what you want, but what I'm thinking is it's really, really messed up here what this guy's doing. Stealing from his mom. Mom then saying, I'm giving this to God, but breaking the first couple commandments. And then, you know, making a shrine to other gods. He says, this is what happens when you do what's right in your own eyes. And it keeps on going. It gets a little bit worse. Verse number 7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. Now, so this man is a Levite. So the Levite we know is what? He is supposed to be of the tribe of the Levites or the priests. They have no home per se for themselves, no real land for themselves, but they've been given different parcels of land to inhabit. Their inhabitation was God. And they inhabited different areas. So he leaves his Bethlehem, Judah area as a Levite, and he is looking for something more. He's looking for something different. It says, and the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn. He could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he sojourned. He says, well, why is he going there? Well, this guy might have had some money. He might have had a big house. And lots of times people would host someone. There wasn't hotels and motels like we think of today. They would stay and someone would consider an honor to take care of someone while they're there. So this man comes to his house on the journey. And Micah said unto him, and while he's there, he's making conversation. He's talking. He says, whence comest thou? You know, where are you from? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father. Now, this is a title of respect and reverence and kindness. So obviously this young man is probably younger than him. We don't really know, but from what it says young man in verse number 7, and this other man has a house and different things like that. So I think he's younger, but he's saying, be unto me a father. But also, what does he tell him to do? And a priest. I'm going to make you a priest. I guess the son wasn't good enough. Or this man in his thinking, you're going to see in a little while, thinks, okay, God might not be pleased with me making my son a priest. So now I have a Levite that's come to my house and I'm going to make him a priest. And God will be happy with that. Well, let's keep on going. And I will give thee 10 shekels. And that's what we're thinking, that the 1,100 shekels is very expensive, because he's offering 10 shekels of this man for a yearly salary of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victual. So it's room and board, change of garments, and 10 shekels. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man. Let's see what's wrong with this. What's God's plan for the Levites? To serve him. The God's plan for the Levites was to worship him in certain areas. This man is willing to go into another man's house that has false gods, has shrine of false gods. He's content with that. So he's not living for what God wants him to do. He's not satisfied with what God wants him to do. He's not satisfied with on the law. We see earlier that it says that he actually went looking for a place he could stay because he didn't want what God had intended for him. It says the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. So he treated him so well, treated him good. He said, well, what's so wrong with that? It's against what God desires. And if it's against what God desires, then people are doing what's right in their own eyes. But why is he doing it? Let's keep on going. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest. And once again, he has no authorization to do this. And he was in the house of Micah. He says, well, he's wicked. He's not trying to live for God. He's not serving God. But look what it says in verse number 13. It's not the fact that he's totally wicked and wants to not serve God. It's the fact he's confused. It's the fact that he's being wicked, but he thinks what? Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. So he's thinking that God will be pleased with him because he has set up this shrine and he has set up these false images. And now he can go back into the law and say, okay, the Levites are supposed to be the priests. I'm going to fire my son. Obviously, probably going to give him another job, and he has children that's there. So we know he's a little bit older, and I'm going to make this man a priest and he's going to be happy. Sometimes I think we get to this confusing part in our lives that we can do things that are religious and say, God's going to be happy with me because I'm doing this portion. But the reality is we must make sure that we're staying true to the Word of God, and not just the parts that we like, but the entire Word of God. So let's look at some things. First thing I want you to think about, and we've gone through a good portion of it already, is the stolen shekels. Look at verses 1 through 4 again. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah, and he said unto his mother, 1,100 shekels of silver have taken from thee, about which thou curses. Once again, I think this man was in this confession. He's not worried about his mom being upset. He's worried about a curse that's going to come upon him. And he's once again religious, but not spiritual. And spakest thou so in mine eyes, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And the mother said, blessed be thou, the Lord, my son. And when he restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I have wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. So a couple things here. First, I want you to see is the confession about the shekels. In the confession, you see there's a problem in the home. There is a problem in this home. First of all, the mom's not raising the child correctly. If the mom thinks it's okay to save up her money and buy graven images and give that as a gift to their son and thinking that they're giving to the one true God that way, there's a problem there. And there's an issue there. So we got to make sure that we see that when man does what's right inside their own home, inside their own eyes, what's going to happen? Sooner or later, there's going to be a problem in the home. Sooner or later, there's going to be a breakdown. If we do what's right in our own eyes, can you imagine if kids did what was right in their own eyes? If, you know, you had a 2-year-old that says, I don't want to go to bed, or I don't want to brush my teeth, or I don't want to eat vegetables, I want to go play out in the street. What would happen? It would be dangerous. It would be a disaster. And that's what's happening in Israel here. It's a problem because people are doing what's right in their own eyes, and they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And we have this woman here, instead of chastising her son, instead of telling her son, you know, what he did was wrong, thank you for confessing it to me, I forgive you. What does she do? She goes and she rewards the boy. He says, here's the 200 shekels idol that I wanted to create for you anyway. And it's crazy. And why is this happening? Why is there a breakdown in our homes today? Why is it the fact that there is? Because in our homes, there's no moral absolute. There is no, okay, husband love wives, wives submit to husbands, children obey and honor. You know, there is, we have those things, we pick and choose those things, but what is it that we desire to have? There's a confession about the shekels. And I give the guy credit. You know, he did confess and he did make restoration. A lot of people won't even do that. Sometimes when confession is made, it's more of an excuse. Yeah, I did it, but this man, he doesn't do that. Is that because he's a good guy? I think it's because he's afraid. He is religious. He is scared of the curse. And because he's scared of the curse, you know what? He doesn't want to get help. And once again, he's doing what's right in his own eyes. Second thing I want you to see is the consecration of the shekels. There's confusion in this consecration. The confusion made the consecration corrupt. So what are you getting at? If this woman had really gave 200 shekels to the Lord and that she was confused into believing that, okay, I'm going to make this idol with the 200 shekels, then I'm going to give this to the God. We got to be careful. I think it's important that we be careful with our finances and money that we dedicate to the Lord. And we don't give things in guise of other things. Well, I'm giving this to the Lord, and then we abuse that and misuse that. Just be careful with that. As our church, you know, we try to be very careful with the finances that are given here. Be careful when you say things, I'm doing this for God, and then go out and do something that is against what God would desire. And that's what this woman was doing. Why is that? How could that happen? It's because there's confusion. People are calling evil good and good evil. So just be very careful. There's a consecration in the shekels. If God's asking you to give something, make sure you're giving it to what he wants you to give it to. Second thing I want you to think about is the shameful situation. The shameful situation. And you see here in verses 4 through 6, it says, and he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made it thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. You see what happened? There is a corruption of worship here. Verse number 5, and the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. There is a corruption in worship here. The religious situation in Micah's house was so shameful and reflected the general attitude of the land. They honestly believed that these idols that were over here and this shrine that could happen, they were going to please God. He could go get his own priest. It was going to be a shame. And there's a lot of things that happens in many churches today that they're doing in the name of God, and they're saying that they're doing it for the Lord, but it's not done God's way. And you need to be careful for that. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you think about it. The Bible talks about not having lady preachers, but we see that happening in churches. We talk about, you know, homosexuality, guys that are openly gay or women that are openly gay. You know, they're preaching and they're running churches and they're doing. Why is that? There's corruption in the worship. We need to be careful. The condition is, how does all this happen? It's the condition of the society. We find that in verse number 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was a lack of rule. Once again, they are not wrong because of the fact that they do not have a king. They're wrong because they've left the moral absolute. And there's a lack of righteousness. When man is doing what they think is right, then it's going to be something that's wrong. You say, sometimes there are hard things. Sometimes it's being led by the Holy Spirit of God, is being directed by the Holy Spirit of God, and I understand that. Some people, you know, something can happen in a good church in one spot and another good church in another spot, but we're talking about things that are clearly, I mean clearly, opposite of what the Word of God was teaching and preaching, and that's where the confusion began, because they weren't interested in what the Bible says. Last but not least, I see this sojourning Levite. I think there's something we can learn about this man. Look what it says in verse number 7 through 9, the inquiry of the Levite. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. So that's where God had intended, in that area, for him to stay, for him to worship, and for him to do his work to God. And then the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, and it says to sojourn, means stays there, for wanting to stay somewhere where he could find a place. He was looking for a spot to stay and came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he sojourned. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and go to sojourn where I might find a place. Here's a problem, is the Levite was not satisfied with God's will. God had a plan for him. He leaves this area. He said, well, Pastor, that's not a big deal. I mean, we can leave our area and we can go serve God somewhere else. That was different than what the Levite had. God had a plan for the Levite. God had a purpose for the Levite. God had something that was established. And you can hear, he's not going to a place because God sent him to another area to be part of that Levite tribe and to serve. He's walking around and he's looking, okay, where am I going to stay? What am I going to do? And he's trying to figure that out. But we can see here that he is happy with the offer. We can see that he can be satisfied living in a place that has false gods that are just there. He's not looking to worship God. And why is that? It's because there is no moral absolute. There is no priesthood that is to speak of. There is no one that's worshiping, and there is no one that doing the sacrifice, at least not with a clean and a pure heart. Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. Everybody's doing what they think is right. They're doing what they think is best. And because of that, they're doing evil in the sight of God. Verses 9 through 11, we see the invitation here. The man Micah, just, you know, things are falling in place for him. It says, dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give these 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victual. So the Levi went in. And so what's here? He's saying, here, I'll give you enough money, enough clothes, place to stay. He says, okay. He was willing to sell his heritage that God had given to him for some money and a shirt. He was willing to give it all up and say, okay, this is what I can offer you. And he's like, I'll do it. And there's some problems with this. You know, what happens when something better comes along? Next chapter, you're going to see that when the Danites come to take over this area and destroy the city, they come and get this guy. He says, wouldn't you rather be a priest for a whole tribe than being a priest for just one guy? And see, that's the point. The devil can continually try to make the offers look better. Next, you see in here that he has to compromise himself. He has to be willing to say, I can come and dwell amongst these. I mean, if he's the priest, don't you think he's taking care of the shrines? If he's the priest, don't you think he's praying amongst these? He's doing what the man wants to do because he's a hired preacher. He's a hired man of God. And I know that that's not the type of preacher you want, someone who's going to do what you want and not what God wants. This is what Micah is doing. He says, look, I want you to be a Levite, and I want you to come in here, and I want you to play with all these false gods, and I want you to pay your incense to these false gods, and I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for my family. I want you to do what I want you to do and not what God wants you to do. You guys don't want that. And there's a lot of churches today that are run by deacon boards or by individuals and say, this is what you got to do, and this is what you have to say, and this is what... That's what this man was, but you know what it says in here, verse number 11, you know, he was content to dwell with the man. It's okay, if you're going to take care of me, I'll do it. Let's look at the last but not least, the inauguration of the Levite. Verse number 12, and Micah consecrated the Levite. Now, this man had no authority to consecrate a priest, no authority in consecrating the priest. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest. And he was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, and this is his thought here, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. You think about this. He gets to this spot and he says, I'm religious now. God's going to be pleased with me. Religion does not save you. A relationship with Jesus Christ saves you. You know, every other religion in the world says you got to do this to get God to please you. You got to pay this thing, or you got to have this experience, or you have to make this type of trip, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. Every other religion is do. Christianity says the work's done. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. And then after you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, then you begin to serve him out of a heart and a love for him, because you see him, as we talked about on Sunday, you know, he is a holy, he is a righteous God, he is a God of justice, but also he's one that knows the hairs of your head. He's the one that loves you and cares about you too. But see, this man, in the mess that this world's going on, in the mess that Israel is going in, he says, God's going to be happy with me. He's going to be good with me. I think we need to be careful here. Why do we serve? Why do we come? Why do we worship? In our Sunday school class, we've been looking at going down the right path. Because I don't want to spend my life going and just working and working and trying and not end up at the right spot. The right path, and we talked about having the right heart. We talked about having the right conscience last week. And it's the idea that you can't keep on working and working and going down, and you're doing all these religious things, and you're doing all these things in the name of God, and then at the end of the path, you turn around and say, this isn't where I thought it was going to be. I have no joy. I have no peace. I don't have the power of God on my life. I don't see God's working and God's fruit in my life. Remember, the Bible says the pure in heart shall see God. They'll see God work. They'll see God move. So in all of this, let's make sure we're going down the right path. Let's just make sure that we're not picking and choosing things and saying, God's going to be happy with me now. I got a Levite for a priest. And it comes to the spot that we see through this whole chapter is confusion. And we look across America today, there is so much confusion when it comes to spiritual things. This group thinks they have it right. This group thinks they have it right. And this group thinks they have it right. I think the Bible has it right. And I think that's how we're supposed to live by, is the Word of God. And I think it's important. He said, well, remember, they're doing what is right in their own eyes. Do I always like what the Bible says? Not really. I wouldn't really want to always forgive. I don't really always want to treat people kindly. And once again, these are things but you know what? That's what's right and that's what's best and that is good, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to ordain a woman to preach. Why? Because it's not what the Bible says. I'm not going to ordain a homosexual to do that. Why? The world would say you're being evil and you're being judgmental. I'm just trying to be biblical. And you know, I know what some people say, you know, well, if you're biblical, what about this? And as you study and get the scriptures, it's not for private interpretation, but some things we're going to have to figure out when we get to heaven. And it's just, but at the same time, we can't do what's right in our own eyes. We have to do what's right according to what God says in God's word. Israel was in a mess. You see this story, you read this chapter, you just kind of go over it really quickly. You say, well, there's not much you can learn there. There's a lot. The home is messed up. The religious system is messed up. The Levites are messed up. There's a bunch of mess. And it all goes back to this. I want to do what I want to do. We can't live that way. Look at what the nation has become. You're going to look in chapter 18. You're going to be like, whoa. And you get to chapter 19. You're going to be like, wow. How in the world could all these things happen? It's because people did what was right in their own eyes. And they didn't do according to what God's word says. Tonight, let us be interested in going down the right path. Let us stay to be biblical and scriptural people. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.